Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
I basically lied to myself several times. Oh, fantastic. I'm doing my accounts today. I'm doing my VAT today. That's really exciting. And actually, over time, I've learned to get much more sort of on top of it all, really.
Today's guest is Dave Cohen, and this conversation is one you won't want to miss. Dave has spent over four decades navigating one of the most unpredictable industries out there, and he's figured out how to not just survive it, but thrive. He opens up about what it really takes to build a lasting solo career, why structure might be your greatest asset when everything feels uncertain, and the surprising mindset shift that helped him tackle the tasks he dreaded most. He also shares why an unlikely figure from 400 years ago might hold the key to succeeding in today's chaotic world. If you've ever wondered how to stay grounded, focused, and moving forward when nothing feels certain, Dave has some wisdom that just might change the way you think. Let's dive in, and now let's welcome Dave Cohen. Dave is a multi-BAFTA-winning BBC writer who spent four decades as one of the most successful contributors to the British comedy scene. As a stand-up, he started the Comedy Store improv group with Mike Myers and Paul Merton. He's written for top BBC shows and is the main lyricist for smash hit show and movie Horrible Histories. He's since become one of the most respected coaches of new comedy writers, and his new podcast, The Shakespeare Mindset, is all about how to succeed in an uncertain world. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me, David.
Oh, pleasure. So let's start off by talking a little bit more about your career journey and how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Yeah, okay. So I was a journalist. I graduated from college and became a journalist for a few years. And this was in the early 1980s. And this was at the time when comedy was changing, really, in America and the UK. There was the old school comics, and probably best defined in America as the Catskill comedians of the 1950s and 60s, and those old sitcoms, the sort of domestic sitcoms, and they were kind of giving way to a kind of younger, more vibrant kind of comedy. And the same was happening in London. So I gave up my job in 1983 as a journalist and moved to London. Luckily, I was the right man in the right place at the right time. There were quite a lot of comedy clubs, but not enough comedians to play them. So very quickly, I got a job being a comedian, and that took me really on the route that I've since followed for the next 40-odd years, rarely knowing where I was heading, really, much more than about 3 months in advance at any one time.
Yeah. So how did that uncertainty of not knowing where you were heading more than 3 months in advance, how did that compare to having a job as a journalist?
Yeah, I think about that time a lot, have done since over the years. And, you know, it was a very big point of change in my life. And I mean, it speaks very much to your show and how a lot of people are in jobs and they're thinking, what can I do? I was very lucky. I also had the confidence of youth, or maybe the ignorance, I think is more what it is. My feeling now is that I got lucky. Now, when I look to try and do a new thing, for instance, although I'm still freelance and still solo, I'm a lot more rigorous now when I think I want to try a new thing, rather than just having that kind of blind faith, which turned out to be a kind of quite a good faith when I had it, but it definitely, I hadn't tested the idea thoroughly before. I just thought, oh, sod it, I'm giving up being a journalist, I'm moving to London, see what happens.
Yeah. Are there any kind of key strategies that you use when evaluating a new situation before you decide whether to jump in?
Yes, I suppose now. I mean, at that time, I did at least know there were a few things that I did have lined up that were possibilities. And in fact, I did carry on working as a journalist, even as I was setting up life as a comedian. So I think the first thing that I always do now is that if I'm going to do a new project, I do need to know that I've got at least 3 or 4 months of doing it where there are other things that are ensuring that bills are kept paid. So yes, I suppose it's more, I'm just a little bit cautious I think cautious is the right word. I do like to be sure before I jump into a new project that I've got quite a lot of time to work on it and test it and see if it's going to work. And then if it doesn't work, I'll go back to other things and probably have to find other go back to ways, more conventional ways that I've been kind of paying the bills.
Yeah. Dave, since you've been in your own business now for decades, are there strategies that you find that are most helpful in generating long-term business success?
I'd say the number one thing, I mean, it's not a kind of regular business, really. The comedy business, you know, there can be, I've had months and weeks of abundance or years of steady work. And then I've had like months where I've had nothing and, you know, I've had to rely on previous success or whatever. So actually being able to predict in those terms is difficult. But I find the key thing that works for me and has been for some years is to imagine that I am still in a job working for somebody. I have to get up in the morning, whatever. I have to get ready for work. I come to my office. I sit in my office and I work in the office and I do a day's work and I do all the other things. I try and, you know, keep healthy and eat well and just generally look after myself. And I think that's actually probably been the most important aspect. I mean, there have been times over the years where I've thought, oh, isn't it fantastic? You know, I don't have to get up at this time. I don't have to put on a suit and tie and all these things. But actually, I quite like that now.
So structure is important.
Yes, very important, especially in a business like this that's very unstructured. Having my routines is very important.
Yeah. Are there particular challenges of maintaining a structure when you're solo?
Yes. Yes, there are. It is very tempting to not sit here. There's nobody in the room next door who's going to notice if I take an extra 20 minutes for lunch and there's nobody knocking on my door saying I need this bit of work by this time. It does require a lot of self-motivation. And also you do have to be aware. I mean, if you are in a job now and you're contemplating going it alone, you have to think about all the things that you probably take for granted in your day job, like holidays, paid holidays, being part of a pension scheme, having an infrastructure around you. I mean, when you know, as well as being a writer, I'm also CEO of Dave Cohen Enterprises, and I have to give myself quite stern rebuke as the accountants firm and the marketing side as well. It doesn't always go according to plan, and sales as well. And part of the reason is that these aren't things that I'm particularly qualified at, but at the same time, I can't just go and knock on someone's door and say, do this bit for me. I have to do all of that myself. Or even if I get someone else to do it, I have to know, I have to have the knowledge of what's going on across the whole range of what I'm doing.
Now, you've also helped quite a few people transition from working for others to working for themselves. Are these some of the key strategies that you advise them?
Yeah, I do warn people, and it's certainly got harder in the last few years to break into comedy writing. And in fact, I've been teaching comedy writing for 20 years or so and my shtick usually was, you know, can you make a living writing comedy? Yes, you can, but you need to do A, B, C, D. Now I say, I'm not sure that you can. And I think the main thing that I say to people is, get better at being a writer, really. Get better at your craft. That's kind of more or less the most that I can promise people now. I mean, there are other things that you have to consider. I mean, like, for instance, when you're freelance, you can't be ill. You know, you can't take a day off, because that means that the work that you're supposed to be doing doesn't get done and you won't get paid. So there's that to think about. You do have to plan a lot, I think. I suggest to people that they plan quite a lot as well. And I think the other thing that I haven't mentioned yet, which is a very difficult thing to deal with as a freelancer, is to have the boundaries that you would have had in a 9-to-5 job. So try and protect times that are not times, because we all carry all our work around now with us in our little pockets. We've got everything there, our accounts, our emails, our phone messages, the work we're working on. It's very easy to be out and about 24 hours a day and think, oh, I might just do a bit of work now. I can reread a script or something. So you do have to kind of work hard to set the boundaries between your work life and your personal life.
Yeah, probably in both directions. The personal can bleed into paid work, and paid work can bleed into the personal.
Yes, that's true. And especially when your job is to look at your own life and your own faults and exaggerate them for comedic purposes.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you mention, you know, being the CEO of yourself as a business owner and being responsible for all the different tasks that it takes to run a business, whether you actually have those skills and they work really well for you or you don't, and also focusing on improving the quality in your discipline. One of the things that I have observed with particularly professionals who have left a corporate career to start their own business in their discipline, they're usually fairly good in their discipline, if not like really excellent in their discipline. The challenge is all the other set of skills that it takes to run a business, you know, particularly marketing and sales, which is something that often doesn't come naturally to professionals. It's not something they were responsible for in corporate. And what I see is people who are good in their discipline and poor at marketing and sales often struggle. Those who are really good at marketing and sales and maybe mediocre in their discipline probably do better than the first category. And of course, those that either are good at marketing and sales or learn how to do it and are good at their discipline, those are the ones that we all see thriving.
Yeah, I mean, that resonates very much with me. There's a couple of things. I'm very much, what I say, I think, is sort of quite heretical in the entrepreneurship world, especially in the what's called the creator economy. Having created for 40 odd years, I get really bored and fed up with people who call themselves creators, because they are marketers who are very good at turning up and putting stuff out. And sometimes I think that's partly responsible for, I'm not saying it's almost a sort of precursor of the what AI can do, which is just kind of look at everything and churn out a sort of adequate average of everything that's around. And I do actually quite like to work quite hard at something to make it be a little bit more original. And from that point of view, I think, yeah, I wish that I was better at marketing, that I could just put that stuff out more regularly. But I think the thing that I've learned, I suppose, in the last few years, or I've got better at, is this discipline of being able to persuade myself that it's all fantastic and it's all really fun. And amazingly, it's worked, because the thing I hated more than anything was my end of year accounts, having to do that. And that always hung over me for like months at a time. And I'd get to this time of year, because we have at the end of March is in Britain the when you have to have your accounts, start to get your accounts ready. And I would just have mountains of paperwork in a corner that I'd forgotten about. And then it would be shouting at me from the corner. And I'd eventually sit down and do it all. And I just one day thought, what if I pretended that this is something that I'm really excited to be doing? And I basically lied to myself several times. Oh, fantastic. I'm doing my accounts today. I'm doing my VAT today. That's really exciting. And actually, over time, I've learned to get much more sort of on top of it all, really, I think, by doing that. And I've tried to take a similar approach to marketing and sales and actually think, yeah, they're part of the same thing, really, which is, you know, when you want to write a great script, it's the same thing. You've got challenges and you have to overcome those challenges. And that's the fun of it. And if I can pretend to myself it's fun, then I can make it a little bit more bearable.
Yeah, that's actually a great tip. I like that. And hadn't thought of it quite that way. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, lie. Yeah. Remember to lie to yourself.
Lie to yourself. Mm-hmm. Dave, you mentioned AI, and earlier you also mentioned how, you know, nowadays it may be more challenging than ever to run your own business as somebody who is either creating, as you've described, or a professional. I think we're experiencing a level of volatility and uncertainty in the world that is, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but it certainly seems quite challenging. I know we see this among the members in our community. I see it with my colleagues. And I'm wondering how your work in particular addresses some of these challenges. I mentioned in the introduction that you recently started a new podcast called The Shakespeare Mindset. All right. And it's all about how to succeed in an uncertain world. And, you know, Shakespeare was around a long time ago. And obviously, there's a reason why people have been reading Shakespeare's works for hundreds of years. So I wondered if you could share a little bit about both your podcast and what you think Shakespeare can teach us about how to thrive in chaotic times.
Yeah, the podcast is a very good example of something where I was talking right at the start about needing to be rigorous about an idea before I go with it. And really, the Shakespeare Mindset podcast came about, it forced itself upon me almost to sort of slightly misquote Shakespeare. Some are born with ideas, some achieve ideas, some have them thrust upon them. There was just a moment a couple of years ago, I was just rereading something and a Shakespeare quotation came to mind. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. That resonates with what I'm thinking about at the moment. And it wasn't a particularly mind-blowing moment, but it did make me think again a little bit about Shakespeare. And I sort of went back to reading one of the plays and was just completely amazed, because every time you come back to something like Shakespeare, you read it in a whole new light. And in fact, the play was Romeo and Juliet, and it's been a very big issue, particularly in comedy in the last 15 years, of comedy writing, of what you can and can't say, and what is deemed to be offensive and what is deemed to be above board to say, or what might be considered too woke or whatever. And I was rereading, and I hadn't read Romeo and Juliet for years, and suddenly I was reading this play, which is absolutely filthy. I mean, it's just full of filth. And I only realized that because I was looking at it with the eyes of the person who has learned to be more careful about the kinds of things one puts in one's scripts nowadays. And I just thought, God, no, you can't say this anymore. No, oh God, you can't say that. You can't say that. And I just thought, but he did say it. He said it 400 years ago. And there's so much else in the play beyond that. And it just took me to more and more plays. And the more I looked at Shakespeare, the more I thought, this is completely relevant now. And then I came across a book called 1599 by James Shapiro, which is a fantastic book, which takes this snapshot year in Shakespeare's life. And there are so many things that are going on in 1599 that are kind of, we think about now. For instance, there's a lot of fear and worry in the nation, which effectively England is the sort of the centre of the world at that point, in from a commerce point of view or whatever. And there's a worry about the succession, who's going to take over. There's worry about immigrants that are coming into the country, and there's some people are welcoming them, some saying there's too many. There's worries about the fact that the forests are being cut down to build more cities, and all the things that were considered big problems and existential problems in Shakespeare's time, in our time, they were there in Shakespeare's time as well. And he was dealing with them. He was doing what we do, which was he was internalizing, he was looking at a problem and he was taking a character, and a character would say, oh, well, if I do this, that's going to be like that or whatever. And it struck me that it was very much like the way that we try and resolve our problems, whether it's listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos, and generally having a kind of attitude and approach to problem solving that is very much like what is available now on the internet and in the digital economy and whatever. And I just thought, well, this is amazing, Shakespeare. But above everything else, I love the writing. It's beautiful writing. And I eventually found a way to approach it, which was to do this podcast, which is to not pretend that I'm an expert, but just to come to it as a fan and to say, okay, so you think this is a big problem. Leaders, why are we always disappointed with the leaders that we choose? Well, you know, that's maybe it's partly our problem. You know, maybe we invest too much in our leaders. And there's masses of examples in Shakespeare of all of that. So really that's how the podcast came about. But it didn't just happen overnight. I just thought, I spent a year and a half thinking about, this is a really interesting observation. What's the best way that I can put it across? And it took me quite a long time to get to thinking, well, maybe it's a podcast that I present and talk about for 20-odd minutes.
Yeah, well, congratulations on
thank you
bringing the podcast to life.
Mm.
And I know you're in the fairly early stages of it, but I'm looking forward to seeing how it unfolds over time.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah, one last question I wanted to ask you, and this may be something that Shakespeare has addressed as well, but I'm curious to know, especially since you have been solo for a long time, how you tap into peers and thinking partners to help you maintain focus and structure and do better in what you're trying to do in your work.
Yeah, over the years I've used the advice of friends, and occasionally I have paid for mentors. I'd say probably one of the biggest mistakes that I've made over the years has been where I thought I could really use somebody who's a real expert here and I should spend time with them, but I can't afford it at this point. But actually, sometimes you have to think, well, it's worth it, even if you think you can't afford it. That's actually a mistaken short-term decision. You need to have more of a kind of forward thinking. You have to invest in that. I think that's a really important point, actually, for people who are going to go it alone, is have squirreled away some money that you know you will spend on working with other people, having help from community, because that's how we are as humans. We can't always go it alone. You do need other people. But Shakespeare is a fantastic example of a great collaborator. You know, he started as an actor and then became a writer, and he had his company and then he had his theatre, and in later life he had other writers that he worked with. And so, yeah, it's the idea of the sort of the single person doing it all by themselves, going it alone, is a myth, I think, and was so in Shakespeare's time.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Dave, if someone wants to go deeper with anything that we've talked about today, access resources you have, listen to your podcast, etc., where's the best place to go?
So at the moment, everything resides in my website, davecohen.org.uk. which is mostly about the, if you wanted to do funny writing, write funny fiction or write comedy for TV, and you just want to add humour to things that you're writing at the moment as well. But I've got a page there about the Shakespeare mindset, and also my novels that I've written and other books.
Great. Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share, you know, a little bit about your journey, some great insights, and what you're up to with your podcast. My guest today has been writer, comedian, and comedy writing teacher Dave Cohen. Thank you, Dave, for joining us.
Thank you.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.